The fire made that up, but by the devil we return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can
and fundage. Keep free speech alive for your children and grandchildren. Tonight is spiritual health and wellness, as we do every Wednesday night. And tonight I have a special guest with his hammer of truth, nailing his 95 theses into the heart of global homo, Lutheran pastor Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome.
Jeremy, always good to be with you. Always good to be on RBN. I was a guest hosting the National Intel Report the other day, and I had a very good conversation with Eric Gajewski of Tradcad Night and with Patrick Slattery. And this is also great to be with you tonight.
I heard that, and I was thinking, wow, a Lutheran pastor, a Catholic, and an agnostic political science professor on the same show. That was interesting.
Well, yes, and the interesting thing about that, of course, are there's going to be some obvious divergences in our individual belief systems, but in regard to the larger issues related to global homo, we're going to be largely on the same page. And so, for example, I can be on Tradcad Night, which is a traditional Catholic radio outreach, probably the most widely listened to in the country of stations in that category, arguably so. And of course, there's certain things theologically we don't get into on that show. But in regard to the basic understanding of where we are as far as eschatology is concerned, there's a lot of overlap there. And interestingly enough, so many of the traditional Catholics, including Eric Gajewski, are on the same page with what you or I might say about the current Pope and about the post-Vatican II papacy generally.
And then also, you know, we share the common ground of recognizing Jewish power and being willing to openly talk about it.
Yes.
So I noticed that. So, you know, as did, you know, the Apostle Paul, even in the New Testament. I mean, Acts 14:2, the unbelieving Jews poisoned the mind of the Gentiles against the brethren. Wherever Paul went, he ran into that Jewish establishment. At first, it wasn't the Roman government. It was the synagogue that went against him and that persecuted the Christians. So I guess another thing that you would have in common with, you know, other Christians and other denominations.
Yes, absolutely. And the interesting thing is that when it comes to political matters, secular political matters, as they relate to biblical eschatology, I have found that traditional Catholics are far more astute and far more active in our movement than our Lutherans by leaps and bounds. And in terms of Protestant evangelicals that really understand the false teachings of so-called Christian Zionism and love state of Israel first and all of that sort of thing. That's where we get into people like you, the late Dale Crowley, Reformed Baptist pastor, who for years, of course, had a show in Washington, D.C., on WFAX on matters related to eschatology and what we would understand of the relationship between that and international and domestic political events and occurrences. The late Herman Otten of Christian News, who was my editor for a long time at that publication, when he had Christian News, it was really in the forefront of discussing a lot of the things related to the secular state of Israel and related to things Jewish as it relates to what has happened to our secular culture and so forth. But Otten and I have been probably the most known exceptions to the rule in regard to Lutherans who, even if they agree with us politically, tend not to be really engaged in this the sort of thing that we do. So you're going to find traditional Catholics, interestingly enough, Russian Orthodox people, some of them very much involved in matters political from their own theological and eschatological perspective. And then when it comes to Lutherans, I suppose Otten and I would be the most widely recognized ones there. And of course, Herman is no longer with us. And when it comes to Protestant evangelicals, this is where it begins to narrow down to people like you, Jeremy, because, for example, Pastor Dale Crowley, who was such a legendary figure for so long in what he was doing, both in his ministry and in his language ministry at the University of Hawaii years ago in Hilo, where he was an expert in Asian languages, I think specifically Japanese, as I recall. And then, of course, Dale had a long history with the American Free Press and WFAX, and was just an incredible force for so long in our movement. But with his passing, you, Jeremy, are one of the few, not the only one, but one of the few Protestant evangelicals who really is in the forefront of what you're now doing with RBN on the radio. So it's there need to be more people like you that have the proper overall prophetic outlook and theological outlook that basically would give you a lot in common. Obviously, you have a tremendous amount in common with me as a traditional Lutheran who certainly is on the same page with the solas of the Protestant Reformation. And yet at the same time, we both can work, say, with Russian Orthodox people and traditional Catholics when they share the bigger picture in regard to what's going on, is most of the really engaged ones do. So whether you're talking about Eric Kajewski at Tradcat Night, Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars is a name that's going to pop up a lot. He has a terrific post, by the way, on the Dugina assassination that you can read currently at the UNS Review. I think it's presently at the top of the page in regard to the latest offering of the UNS Review. And then, of course, when it comes to people involved in the Russian Orthodox perspective, I'm encountering a lot of these people on Russian V Kontakte, where I'm active, and also following some of these folks in regard to articles that are being written, some of them either written originally or translated into English, that become available to me as I know how to surf these things through means that I was not aware of, even when I was engaged at RBN 15 or 16 years ago. So there are plenty of ways that people like you and I can still get good information on what's really going on politically, and at the same time to bounce that off the people that we know best, that we are in the bigger picture in complete agreement with as far as the prophetic and eschatological significance of these things is concerned. I'm thinking, for example, of a guy named Sam Hodgen, both of Fresno, California, and Yerevan, Armenia. I've known Sam for quite a number of years. His cousin Bedros Hajin and I used to do a lot of work on the International Family Christian Network out of Los Angeles, which is Armenian owned. And certainly when you deal with Bedros Hajin or Sam Hajin, they're going to, from a basic biblical perspective, agree on, with us as far as the bigger picture goes. And at least in Sam and Bedros Hajin's case, and I don't know if this is true of a lot of Armenian Christians, but neither one of them are Christian Zionists. And Sam Hajin and I have had a lot of conversations about eschatology and about how that relates to current affairs. And whether you're talking about John Hagee's theology at Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio, or you're talking about the bigger picture as it relates to the New World Order and the deceptive character of the modern secular state of Israel, a Protestant evangelical like Sam Hodgson there in Yerevan would be fully capable of being on this show and discussing a lot of the things that certainly I would, or that Gajewski or Jones would from the Roman Catholic point of view.
And I wanted to mention another one, Pastor Stephen Anderson, Independent Baptist.
There you go.
Faithful Word Baptist in Arizona. I've played a lot of his clips on Wednesday night, Spiritual Health and Wellness. He's an interesting person. I agree with him, you know, as a Baptist, I agree with him mostly on soteriology, or the doctrine of salvation for the audience. But Stephen Anderson speaks out against Zionism. He doesn't have a great understanding, or he claims not, of race, of racial differences. He seems to be lacking in that area. As a matter of fact, if you've ever heard Stephen Anderson being interviewed by Jesse Lee Peterson, Peterson, a black man, a Christian, was more up on the race question than Anderson. Interestingly, Anderson married a German woman and has 12 children. I just looked that up because I thought he had 10. He has 12. According to family fundamentals, and
I think he's ahead of Mark Glenn, my old partner with the Ugly Truth, who of course is a traditional Roman Catholic. I think Mark and his wife Vicky had 10 children, I believe. So Anderson's in the lead, I believe.
Even though he doesn't claim to, you know, acknowledge racial differences, he sure has produced a lot of white children. And I appreciate his, he's really militant against the homosexual movement, which I appreciate. I appreciate his hardcore preaching. I've tried to invite him on the show through email. I haven't heard back, but maybe I'll get him on one of these days. But I just was wondering what you thought of Anderson. Very interesting figure. He made the video Marching to Zion, and he definitely does push back. He actually denied the Holocaust, and that got him a lot of flack. So, There are a lot of people.
Well, I don't know him personally, but it certainly sounds from your description like he is an example of a Protestant evangelical who certainly has the traditional evangelical understanding of salvation, who has begun to see that the direction in which dispensational premillennialism, in that school of thought, going back, of course, to John Nelson Darby and the Scofield Reference Bible, and then a much later period of time, you know, people like John Hagee, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson. It sounds like Pastor Anderson certainly has understood or come to understand that that's very, very problematic theology that is not only largely a 19th century development, unheard of prior to the first third of the 19th century. A lot of Protestant evangelicals who are Christian Zionists don't know that. But then it gets into other issues related to this. Where frankly, folks of that perspective, however well-meaning many of them are, have great difficulty seeing what is frankly obvious in terms of what our larger issues are in regard to one world government, fiat money, the LGBTQ movement, the abortion industry, the pornography industry, radical feminism, all of these other things have that core group at the center, and all of these other things are basically different manifestations of that center, which we certainly believe to be indicative eschatologically of the deception of the end times. And many, and the Protestant evangelicals who are Christian Zionist in orientation, who have the Scofield Reference Bible, Hal Lindsey, John Hagee, Pat Robertson perspective on eschatology, tend to miss what's right in front of them in regard to what has happened to the United States specifically and to the Western world generally, and how it relates to all of these different things that are happening in regard to cultural degeneracy, apostasy theologically, as well as a movement toward a one-world government that many of them would acknowledge is developing in our world even as we speak. But they will not acknowledge, no matter how much evidence is presented, sadly, that the Zionist state of Israel, we believe, and the Ashkenazic and Khazariic Jewish communities are historically at the center of the issue with fiat money, coup d'etats, assassinations, the cultural Marxism that has come into the United States and Western Europe like a flood. When you start studying this and reading the better academics who have gone back in history and have really researched this, people ranging from Kevin MacDonald, of course, of Long Beach State, the gentleman that writes for the Occidental Observer, E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. We've already mentioned him, of course, in terms of the Roman Catholic traditionalist movement. The late Herman Otten of Christian News was published all kinds of articles from good sources trying to inform the traditional Lutheran community not only of the fact that this dispensationalist theology was not compatible with historic Lutheranism, but that so many of the ills that we began to see as Americans, both in our foreign policy as well as in our domestic situation, were traceable to that particular group of people. So this is critically important, I think. And again, for folks that really don't want to encounter the evidence, and I think you run into a lot, Jeremy, I'm sure, with what you're doing with RBN, that when you show some of our Christian Zionist brethren the best research from the best academics on these types of topics, they tend to just turn off the mental channel. They don't want to look at the evidence. In so many cases, they won't read responsibly written literature on the subject. They just won't do it.
And I just want to define some terms because this is an interesting conversation. Before we get into the news, I am actually. I use dispensational theory as a systematic theology to understand eschatology, but I'm not a Zionist. So some terms for the audience, you know, eschatology, the study of end times, and dispensationalists, because of Scofield, who I don't agree with, have stated that the current regathering of Israel that we've witnessed since 1917 under the Balfour Declaration, and then later post-World War II, the dispensationalists would normally say, well, that's the regathering of blessing, and therefore, you know, they're God's chosen, and we should ally with them. I don't see it that way. A much closer study would indicate that this is unbelieving Jews being gathered together for judgment. Zephaniah 2, gather yourself together, O nation undesired, before God pours out his wrath upon you. So just to define those terms, I use dispensational theory just as a tool, and I actually am a premillennialist, but not a Zionist. And I did look at the work of Darby. We're probably up on this break. Let me cover this a little bit more on the other side.
Very good.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, We also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, back to the show, In Plain Sight, Spiritual Health and Wellness, Wednesday night edition on Republic Broadcasting Network. My guest, Lutheran pastor Mark Dankoff. I was just explaining my position because we threw out a lot of terms there and I didn't want to lose the audience. Evangelical, I mean, all of us Christians are technically evangelical. It has the word angel in it, which in Greek just means messenger. We're simply messengers of Christianity. However, evangelicals have been come to known like as a meme, as those Christians who are cucked out Zionists who support the current state of Israel and support the Jews no matter what they do, no matter how much you point out, you know, the evil that they cause. So that is not me. I am a Southern, I'm an Irishman genetically. I'm Southern Baptist, you know, born and raised. I use dispensational theory to understand end times prophecies. I did appreciate John Darby's work. I thought it was much different from Schofield. Darby, the founder of the Plymouth Brethren in the early 1800s, he was a British preacher to the Irish. And, you know, he did breach the subject of dispensational theory, just recognizing some of the prophecies of Israel being restored and blessed in the future. Now, I think what happened, Mark, is that because of people like Theodore Herzl and the World Jewish Congress and this push for Zionism, as well as the Rothschilds and the you know, Balfour Declaration, that the Jews, through treachery, deceit, and global banking and wars, have taken back this land of Palestine against the wishes of God. They're trying to have their land without going through God. And so I believe that according to the prophecies, what we're witnessing now as the current state of Israel are Jews that are being gathered together for judgment to fall upon them by God. And that at the end of certain trials and tribulations and judgments, that one day in the future, God will restore Israel to blessing. And that's according to Romans 11, Paul talking about all Israel will be saved when the deliverer roars from Zion. So I just wanted to sort of solidify where I'm at, and probably we may disagree on some things of that nature, but I think what we agree on is the current power that we're facing, the Jewish-dominated elite. You know, that's something that has to be called out, and Christians should be at the forefront of that. And if they're not, then they're wrong. Kick it to you, Mark, and then we'll get some other topics.
Well, I think that that's basically correct. I mean, in the bigger scheme of things, Jeremy, I absolutely agree with what you've said. And it's a classic example of the blindness of so many evangelicals currently on this whole subject relates to this Russian-Ukrainian war. The Zionist character of the Zelensky regime, the Zelensky connections as a literal Jewish drag queen comedian. This is the background of Volodymyr Zelensky. And when we ask ourselves the question as to how it is that a Jewish drag queen comedian could become the president of an Orthodox Christian country, that starts opening up a whole can of worms and leads to people like Igor Kolomoisky. Now, without taking too much time with this tonight, our listeners, and I'm going to be coming out with an article on the Daria Dugina assassination of this last Saturday for Don Wassel's American Freedom Union and American Freedom News. It may come out in the Iranian media as well. That remains to be seen. But the point is that there are certain Jewish oligarchs very much involved with globalist powers that be that operating in Ukraine facilitated first the rise of Poroshenko, a Jewish predecessor of Zelensky's, to the presidency of Ukraine. This was well after the initial coup d'etat, February of 2014, where the United States and the EU and Zionist forces were very much involved in overthrowing the Yanukovych regime, which was duly elected in Kiev. That and the illegitimate expansions of NATO basically led to a circumstance where, unbeknownst to casual observers of American and Western mainstream media, these regimes began an eight-year war of attrition against the Russian-speaking ethnics of the Donbass, specifically in the Donetsk, what is now known as the Donetsk People's Republic, and the Luhansk People's Republic. That resulted in approximately 14,000 deaths of ethnic Russians and Russian-speaking people in those eastern sectors of Donbass. There was a move on the part of the Ukrainian government to ban the utilization of Russian, the Russian language in schools, to ban any historic Russian literature from being used in Ukrainian schools, and basically Zelensky is provably in the back pocket of the LGBTQ movement worldwide. It is not an accident that the worldwide gay movement has been working overtime to present Zelensky as a savior of the international LGBTQ community from the allegedly fascist Vladimir Putin and the allegedly fascist Russian Orthodox Church. This starts getting into the CIA's involvement, what was going on in the Orthodox Church in Ukraine. That's another topic for after the break. But this whole thing is directly related to world Zionism, which is inextricably linked to the drive toward world government and what we believe will be the appearance of Antichrist. Public
broadcasting. Back after the break.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Mark Dankoff, special guest, and Jeremy, and we were talking about the events in Ukraine. You sent me this article from Son of the New American Revolution. So the U.S. Embassy in Kiev is warning AMSOTs to flee Ukraine. Article starts out, after 6 months of war between Ukraine and Russia, the U.S. Embassy is now alarmed by the prospect of a possible Russian air assault on Kiev, Lviv, and other large Ukrainian cities. And if you read through the article, it cites the assassination of Dugin's daughter and saying that Russia could retaliate in response to that. You had some comments on that.
Yes. This is, first of all, the author of that piece is a guy by the name of Larry Johnston. And if people go to my Mark Dankoff's catacomb and look at my present listing of news links that are worthwhile, Larry Johnson's Son of the American Revolution will come up. He is a longtime CIA analyst who has appeared in the UNS Review. He's done interviews with Alexander Mercuris and Alex Christoforou of the Duran. He's widely respected by people in the intelligence community that really get into this whole business of trying to analyze what's really going on with the fog of war, and to separate what we do know as a fact from that which is simply rumor. And I think what Larry was talking about here is that the American embassy and the Pakistani embassy, just to name two, had put out these warnings that their citizens ought to get out of Ukraine. And this occurred in a time frame approximate to or just after the assassination of Daria Dugina in Moscow at this tradition event. And in this regard, Zelensky put out an advisory to all of the officials in the Ukrainian government in Kiev to work out of their houses and not to come in to the central command and control offices there in Kiev between the 22nd and the 26th of August. Now, this suggested, of course, or does suggest that the United States and Zelensky are among, and the Pakistani government at least, are very concerned that this that the Russians either are or could be planning something that would involve some major strikes on Kiev. Now, the interesting thing is that when one starts examining other points of view on this, there was a fascinating article in Pravda, which, of course, is one of the Russian state news agencies, that indicates that this, in fact, is not likely to be the case or won't be the case. And in this particular instance, the interesting thing about this Pravda article was that it was basically suggesting that although there were people, certainly many people in Russia, and many people who are pro-Russian in orientation in regard to this war, who were so understandably outraged at the heinous character and the totally illegitimate character of murdering a civilian in Moscow, who is simply a political commentator and the daughter of Alexander Dugin, who is someone that our listeners will know more about. If they don't know much about him now, they'll know more when my article is published for Don Wassel, because it will get into the ideology of Eurasianism, the fact that Alexander Dugin, and to many people, is considered to be the high priest of the Eurasian movement. He has been accused of being a Russian exceptionalist. We always hear about American exceptionalists in the neocon community. Dugin has at least been tabbed by some of his adversaries in the American government and elsewhere and in the literary community in the West as a Russian exceptionalist, whether or not that's fair. But nonetheless, it's widely understood by decent people everywhere that this was an outrageous act. And by the way, the Russians have strong circumstantial evidence. I mean, very strong circumstantial evidence as to the specific person who carried out this assassination. And this this person had her 12-year-old daughter living with her in Dugina's apartment complex for a month before the assassination. The Russians have all kinds of footage now, running footage as well as still photos of the car that was used to by the assassin to be driving, tailing Dugina, and then subsequently detonating this remote control device. That strong circumstantial evidence suggests that she placed under Dugina's car on the driver's side. There's something of a conflicting stories. Many people believe that Alexander Dugin was the target, not his daughter, but that at the last minute he elected to utilize a different car, and his daughter went on to get into the car that had the explosive device placed in it by this Ukrainian agent underneath the driver's seat, or underneath the vehicle under the driver's seat. That's you know, so that whether it was a Dugina or her father Alexander Dugin who was the ultimate target is perhaps irrelevant. The fact that it was a political assassination, strong circumstantial evidence points to a specific person known to have credentials in the Ukrainian Secret Service. They know her name. They have pictures of her that are published all over the world. They have pictures of her 12-year-old daughter. She and her daughter allegedly were able to drive this vehicle that entered Russia with Ukrainian plates, if I'm remembering this correctly. And then they switched to a couple of different license plates of different countries, including at one point, I believe, Kazakhstan license plates. I don't remember what particular license plate they used to get into Estonia, which is apparently their point of entry, getting out of Russia. And there's strong circumstantial evidence that suggests that this assassin and her daughter were seen with two other women at a hotel in Austria. That's circumstantial, but nonetheless, I'm sure that international investigative authorities are hot on that trail to see if that, in fact, is factual or not. There's also a rumor that Zelensky and the Ukrainian security types that surround him, that it certainly would be highly suspected of having engineered this killing, along with their Western backers, frankly, they allegedly did not want this assassin to come back to Ukraine at present. And so there's a question of where she might be. Where's her 12-year-old daughter? If they ultimately were traveling with two other women that appeared at this hotel with them in Austria, that's all factual. Who are these other women? What would be a good place for them to hide until the coast is clear? Now, I have my ideas as to where they might go, but those are simply ideas. I can't prove that. Now, having said all of that, and some of this will be in my article on this assassination that will come out for Don Wassel's American Freedom News, which advertises with our RBN, by the way, at republicbroadcasting.org. Nonetheless, as we look at this assassination and at the fear that there would be a massive Russian retaliation against decision-making centers in Kiev from the air, and that this explains, in many people's minds, the edict of Zelensky to his top employees to stay home from the 22nd to the 26th of August. And then, as Larry Johnson points out, we've had the American State Department telling Americans to get out of Ukraine. The Pakistani government is saying the same things to their nationals. And yet, nonetheless, there is an article by someone whose name is Lyubka Luko on Pravda. And this article states that Putin will not strike Kiev. He will strangle Ukraine slowly instead. And this article argues that while Zelensky is doing his best to push Russia to actually strike decision-making centers in Kiev, that Putin's not going to swallow the bait. According to the logic of this article, Zelensky is clearly losing the war in Donbass. I have some specifics that I could briefly mention for our listeners tonight that I think underscore that in fact is true. I would suggest that our RBN listeners would go to my website, not for my wisdom, but for the news links that I have there. Larry Johnson's news link, Son of the American Revolution, the Duran, that's Alexander Mercurius and Alex Christoforou, the Military Summary Channel on Telegram is another excellent one. I also follow certain Russian sites, including several with strong ties to Alexander Dugin, through Telegram in order to see what they're saying. And there is a line of thinking that Zelensky is losing this war badly enough militarily, despite the attempts of Western mainstream media to cover this up, that he is getting increasingly desperate. This talk that they would bomb the Kerch Bridge in Crimea was one evidence of this potentially. The real desperation that I see with Zelensky and his cabal was when they began attempting to strike the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant from the air. This has gotten a lot of play internationally because of the recklessness involved. If they were to be successful in creating a nuclear accident there, you can imagine the number of countries that could be impacted by such a thing, including Ukraine itself. And perhaps this explains, in terms of both desperation and lunacy, and by the way, there's strong circumstantial evidence that is largely appearing in Western, or I'm sorry, in Russian sources that I consult, that Zelensky is a cocaine user. Not just an occasional one, but he's a fairly regular imbiber of cocaine, if one believes that. And I tend to believe that that's true, not only on the basis of the irrationality that I have seen coming out of his government's decisions in most recent times, the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant bombings and attempts at bombing that power plant to create a nuclear crisis in regard to the dispersion of radioactive materials, but this Dugin assassination, in its recklessness and in its heinousness, is another indication that the head of government in Ukraine, who is a known Jewish drag queen comedian, and he obviously would tend to float around in circles in terms of his entertainment career, that would at least suggest circumstantially that he is no stranger to at least being around people who are using cocaine, if not himself a user, which is now being alleged in a number of different places. Well, with having said all of that, this article that Ms. Luko published for Pravda on the 23rd yesterday suggests that Putin will continue to strangle Ukraine slowly, that he will not need to do anything radical in terms of attacking Kiev decision centers from the air. So, you know, when you look at that article that is there for English readers at Pravda.ru, it is argued there that Putin is going to stay the course with what he's doing, and that in the long run, in contrast to what is being said in mainstream media, the longer this goes, the worse this is going to be, not for Putin's Russia, but for Ukraine, and also for Ukraine's chief Western backers, who are losing the economic war of attrition with Putin's Russia, losing it badly. This is where Dugin's Eurasian vision comes into play, as far as what is obviously a major alliance that has redeveloped that we haven't seen since the Nixon-Kissinger years, in regard to a full rapprochement and a full alliance now that seems to be developing with Russia and China, and based upon this whole Eurasian concept. Iran is another major player in this in regard to potentially joining BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa economic alliance that clearly is aimed at destroying the American petrodollar as the reserve currency of the world. And this has gone so far that the Chinese president recently visited Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to discuss with the Saudi Arabian head of state the latter's potential interest in joining BRICS. That would be an incredible blow to the American petrodollar as the reserve currency of the world. That would be an earth-shattering event in the event that the Saudis were to join that alliance, and essentially to enter into a new relationship with China and Russia that would cause this entire neocon, zyocon enterprise in Ukraine that goes all the way back. Well, it goes back to many things, certainly, but just the color revolution, the attempted color revolution, the 2004-2005 time frame in Kiev, the actual coup d'etat of February of 2014. The deaths of these ethnic Russians in Donbass in the 8 years that followed. And last but not least, with this Jewish drag queen comedian in Kiev running that government, this Western-installed, Zio-installed, EU-installed government, you know, I have a situation where he's gotten incredibly reckless. And, of course, it's now been uncovered, as I'm sure our listeners may well know, the United States has had like 30 bioweapons laboratories that were constructed in Ukraine during these 8 years before this war started. Zelensky, just before the Russian invasion of Donbass this last February 24th, was openly talking about what a great idea it would be to have American and NATO nuclear weapons introduced into his country, right on the Russian border, pointed directly at Moscow. Well, this kind of talk, obviously, if there was any doubt at all in the minds of Putin and Shoigu and Lavrov and these other bigwigs in the Russian regime that they were going to go into that country, those statements, I think, sealed it, that they understandably felt it absolutely necessary that they go in. So in this particular circumstance, this Dugina assassination, and I'll be covering this in great detail for Don Wassel's American Freedom News online, this Dugina assassination certainly underscores a new level, a frightening level of recklessness going on with the Zyokon neocon establishment that underscores that we are on the edge of potentially apocalyptic things. Let me read one quote here, then we can move on. This E. Michael Jones article today that appeared in the UNS Review, it's entitled "Who Killed Daria Dugina?" This one statement that Jones makes at the very end of the article kind of pulls it all together. He says, and I'm quoting, "The Jews who started this war, Nuland, Blinken, Zelensky, Kolomoisky, killed Dugina no matter who pulled the trigger," unquote. That pretty much sums it up. And with that level of recklessness, on top of the bombings of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, suggest a level of desperation with the Biden, Nuland, Kagan, Clinton, Sherman cabal that is sobering. These people, folks, have access to nuclear weapons. They are doubling down on reckless policies. And as they continue losing this war, and as they continue losing in international public opinion, who knows what their next move may be, and the next move could potentially ignite a third world war. And this is where our mutual friend Patrick Slattery comes in. He's been saying for a long time that he's been very concerned that as the wolf is increasingly cornered, as the Zyokon Institute for the Study of War, Nuland Kagan crowd is being increasingly cornered on this whole issue of globalism generally and this insane war in Ukraine specifically. Wolves who are cornered get desperate because they're cornered. You don't know what they're going to do, how crazy they're going to get, what buttons they're prepared to push. So this, on the one hand, is something where Putin's policies in Ukraine and elsewhere thus far are moving slowly but surely in a grinding pace, but nonetheless a very effective one in regard to what's happening militarily in the Donbass. He's winning the economic war of attrition with the West, and this is where the Globo Homo crowd, they're not used to losing. They're not used to being embarrassed in this fashion. And ever since Putin's intervention in Syria in 2015, they've been chafing at the bit to get him. And now that this has all backfired on them in regard to what they have done in Ukraine in the last 8 years, it remains to be seen as to where this is going to go.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. Definitely, Zelensky has taken a page out of the American politician book of entertainment of hookers, blow, and cheese pizza, and they're totally unhinged. And these people have their hands on the power of nuclear weapons. It's definitely scary. Let's go to a caller real quick, Mark. We've got Joe in Florida holding on. Joe, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Pastor Dankoff. Thanks. Great show tonight. Really fantastic. I just want to say, by the way, you know, so I identify as a traditional Catholic too. I'm a big fan of Dr. Jones. But one of the great Protestant leaders in this area, you forgot to mention, was the great Pastor Rick Wiles from Vero Beach. He's I'm a huge fan of his because he's on the Protestant side, but telling the truth and naming the Jew. I wanted to ask Pastor Dankoff one last thing. What do you think is the next thing that happens? Because I see this as these Zelensky and Kolomoisky as being defeated basically already. It's just a matter of time. Then there's a terrible scenario, which I think Poland taking over the whole western half of Ukraine. And then as soon as it's a part of Poland, they pull this garbage one more time where they try to put nuclear missiles in that area, which was heretofore Ukraine. Meanwhile, Russia, the nations that are aligned with it, the Donbass, have moved more east. I mean, I hate to say it, but it seems like the next step could be even more of a powder keg. What do you think?
Well, I think you're onto something there, Joe, and the reason I say that is in the Russian English language press, there have been a lot of rumors reported that, in fact, Zelensky is even interested in having the Poles taking over the western part of Ukraine in order to create a situation where an Article 5, NATO Article 5 justification could be used in order to get NATO to in the United States to intervene militarily against Russia in Ukraine. Because as it stands now, it is clear the Western mainstream media, notwithstanding, that the Ukrainians are finished. I mean, on the military front, when the Russians took Papasnaya and Mariupol, that led to the so-called Lysychansk, Severodonetsk salient fall. And then when you look at what's now happening in Donetsk City and Soledar Bakhmut, when these fall, especially the latter of the two, this whole Slavyansk, Kramatorsk salient is going to follow. The Russians are beginning to move in Kharkiv and in Nikolaev in the south. I understand from what Duran was reporting today that the Russians are within 15 to 20 kilometers of Nikolaev. And, of course, that sets up the inevitable development of an artillery capability that will start striking Nikolaev. And Nikolaev, of course, will in fact lead to the fall of Odessa. Then the Russians will have strategic control over the entire Black Sea coast. And at that juncture, you can just imagine what's going to happen, Joe. Zelensky, Biden, Stoltenberg, Blinken, Nuland, all these people are going to panic. And maybe the Polish takeover of Western Ukraine, and that's something that Zelensky is reporting of.
Right.
That this could lead to an Article 5 World War situation.
All right, guys. Appreciate the call, Joe. Mark, thanks a lot for coming on Spiritual Health and Wellness. It is the end of the show.
God bless, Jeremy.
God bless you, sir. William Repellum will be taking the mic tomorrow night with a special co-host, as I will be out at a concert. You guys stay classy, RBN.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.